Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, and the light, and the light, and the light. There were souls.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Your host this evening is Stevie R. Butler. Tonight's show is a special edition with my co-host Patrick L. Matlock from the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful that you're tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, you can give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts, you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or you can give me a call at the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition. Wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast, Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask you to bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we praise you will be my co-host on the show this evening, Patrick L. Matlock, as he breaks unto us the bread of life. We pray that you will continue to bless him and his family as they support his efforts to continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will be with our listeners who are tuning into this radio show through Blog Talk Radio and also through social media, Facebook. We pray that they may listen well and that their hearts may be pricked, that it would cause them to consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. And they will ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. For we recognize without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you forgive us for the sins we've committed in our minds and our bodies. We know that our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's blessed name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. Our speaker for the evening will be my co-host, Patrick L. Matlock. He serves as the evangelist for the Spring Hill Road Church of Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the broadcast this evening. So open up your Bibles now and open your minds. And after the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Patrick L. Matlock. This is a special edition. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, through knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It has to work out. God makes no mistakes.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition. Now, my co-host, Patrick L. Medlock, and his subject, Marriage from Genesis to the Grave.
Thank you, Brother Butler, and I bring you greetings from the Spring Hill Road Church of Christ in Tallahassee, Florida, where it all comes together spiritually. I'm hoping that you can see me clearly. I'm not doing any special effects, so if you are seeing something like that, kind of give me a heads up on that, that there might be some people that are playing some shenanigans with at a point in time in which there's utmost seriousness, especially with these special edition broadcasts, because usually they are usually dealing with deeper, more, in some cases, more controversial subjects, and they're asking various ones of us to take at least one of these a month, rather a year, and in some cases a couple. And I plan to kind of hold down things for Brother Butler with this schedule, both in the month of December as well as January for this year and possibly next. And this year I want to talk about the subject of marriage from Genesis to the grave, which, you know, there is, at least amongst our brotherhood, a lot of voices and a lot of directions and a lot of noise that's put forth with regard to this subject. But I think, you know, if you take a very basic approach to what does the scripture actually teach on this subject and other subjects like it, then you'll find that we really do have a lot of information that can be very, very helpful to us if indeed we just study and devote ourselves to rightly dividing the word of God. So again, we thank you for joining us and being able to hear what we have to say, because this issue of marriage is very, very important. We've got a lot of people who are now opting out of marriage. They're saying, I have my life partner and I don't have to actually get married. If you hear some of the rhetoric from Will and Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith about we're life partners and we don't really have to be dedicated, it appears, to one another in a monogamous way, but we can still have what they're calling a marriage. You have people who are saying, this is my life partner, and they're not even going through the process of a ceremony. And, you know, old people used to call that shacking. I'm not sure what they're trying to call it today. And then, of course, you have the issue of men marrying men and women marrying women. And there are just things that the Bible speaks of very definitively that I plan to walk through both tonight and during this same forum on January the 6th, where I'll talk about not only what the Bible actually teaches from the very beginning, but how we should really be taking marriage, a marriage that should last ideally to the grave. I grew up with the statistic that said, well, one in every two marriages ending in divorce. And then eventually over the years, the statistic morphed to two out of three marriages are ending in divorce. And I'm not sure exactly what the statistics are today. I didn't look any of that up prior to delivering this message. But even as you look at people in the church, you still have a circumstance today where people are indeed looking at things and trying to actually do what God would say in their attempts to do what God would have you to do. Even in the church, we're finding that some are still opting for divorce, maybe some legitimately and maybe some not so much. And so I think it's worth it to kind of take a study from the very beginning of the Bible to look at what is marriage meant to be, and then use that as a backdrop to support the premise behind marriage being something that when it's done the right way, it can be done in a way that lasts, where you don't have to end it because of irreconcilable differences. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen and brothers and sisters, you can then indeed be able to be indeed fulfill vows that say until death do us part. And so let us begin, and I'm going to take you back to Genesis chapter 1, if you don't mind, because when you really think about God, God was about bringing order to chaos. That's what really you read when you see the Bible says that the earth, in verse 2 of Genesis 1, was formless and void, the New American Standard says, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. So when it comes right down to it, ladies and gentlemen and brothers and sisters, earth was not even in a spot, because even though you had some materials with water and darkness that's being mentioned here, that it wasn't inhabitable. It wasn't in a spot where actually man could live and sustain life, or any entity could live and sustain life. God needed to, at the beginning, with some materials that were available at the beginning, to actually bring order to chaos. The term that a lot of the scholars like to bring to this is a term called functional oncology. The word oncology, in essence, if you really want to break it down in layman's terms, it means the nature of existence. So what is it that actually is the nature of why or how you exist? And then the idea of functional ontology, the idea of being functional here, means serving a purpose for which it was designed to function. And that's a real important distinction, that you can have something that exists, but then when it was created, in essence, functional ontology speaks to what was its original purpose, what was it designed to do when it actually was designated. I'll say to you that my premise for this first half of this lesson for tonight will be that God made everything in the beginning with a particular purpose and with a particular design, whether you're talking about the light or the sun and the moon, whether you're talking about the land masses, whether you're talking about man or woman, him or his or herself, and whether you're talking about even the institution of marriage. Functional ontology that is spoken of and that is shown in the Bible speaks to the fact that God, the intelligent designer, had a particular function for everything that he made. And the way in which you would know that functional ontology was in place was all the times that you read in Genesis chapter 1 where the Bible says, and God said it was good, and God thought that it was good, or even it was very good. Because when we think about the word good, we can think about the word good as something that's beautiful, something that looks beautiful, something that's aesthetically beautiful, something that is better than bad, or something that in all those other ways, flowery and positive ways, can be viewed as good. But then we also look at good as something that we know is functional, something that is right. And a lot of times we will have used good in a functional, ontological way. What are some of those ways? Well, I want you to think about it, because many of us have said, oh, yeah, that's good. That is good, meaning it's what I intended for it to be. It's exactly what I needed to do. It is exactly what I need, where I need it, or even how much I need it to be. Let me give you some examples. I want you to think about this. Many of you were in the kitchen or were trying to help out, even if you were in the way, for this Thanksgiving when the turkey was being baked, or when there might have been some other fixings that were being provided. And a lot of times when we have the taste test, whether we're talking about the batter from the cake or we're talking about the seasoning of the dressing or whatever it might have been, someone might have dipped their finger in whatever the ingredient is, and they may have licked their tongue and said, that's good. Good in the sense of not only was it pleasing to the taste, but good in that it's exactly what I wanted it. Not too tart, or not too sweet, or not too salty, or not too. it was exactly the way I designed it to be when I followed either the recipe or some of you who are you're the touch person, or you just do it by feel, and you know it's right when it's right, and then you say that's good. I want you to think about functional ontology when you're taking a bath or a shower, where you'll go and you'll cut the water on and you'll try to, especially if you're in a newer place, like many of you might be at a hotel, and you're not used to the water pressure and you're not used to the water temperature at that particular place, you'll turn it on and you'll say, okay, I need this water pressure to not be as intense, and I need the temperature to be either a little higher, hotter, or a little cooler. And then whether we utter it out loud, we'll say, that's good. That's exactly the design that I'm looking for, whether I need a warmer shower or a colder shower, we'll say that is good. I want you to think about that ticking sound that sometimes would indicate that maybe there's a need for an oil change or some other adjustment of a circumstance. And then you may get that oil change and you'll say, that's good. That's exactly the way I need that engine to function. Without the ticking, which you know if you let it go unaddressed, and if oil changing doesn't actually address it, then you need to definitely make it go away because it's not functioning the way it was designed to function. How about the viscosity of concrete, where if you have concrete that is not dense enough, you may actually, it may harden, but it may not last because the viscosity of the material is not dense enough to sustain the pounding that's needed. So you want that viscosity of the concrete mix to be such that when you lay it and when you spread it and it's nice and even, it's going to do the trick exactly the way you need it to be done. So the idea of functional oncology, I can go on and on about the idea of when things exist and they actually function the way they need to be functioned, we have a tendency also to say, that's good, that's perfect. We have a tendency to say, that's exactly what I want. So in essence, that's what God did at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, when you look at verse number 4, where the Bible says, God saw that the light was good. So in essence, he's saying, look, I have it exactly the way I want it to be. Because when he developed the light provided daylight and differentiated day from night, ladies and gentlemen. So the light was created with a function. An interesting part about this is for many of us who haven't really paid attention to the details associated with Genesis chapter 1, is that many of us are surprised that the sun was actually not created until day 4. So you got the sun and the moon, they were created on day 4, but it is on day 1 that we see that God created light. So that just lets you know how incredible light is. God is. God didn't create light with the sun. God created light and then waited 3 days before he even created the sun. That's just how magnificent our intelligent designer, Almighty God, is. And it had a function that as he was taking things from chaos to order, he created light so that it would differentiate day and night. Because you had night, and you'll see in the text it says there was evening, because there wasn't anything else but darkness, and then there was morning the first day. And then you see that breakdown, evening and morning second day, evening and morning third day, evening and morning fifth day, evening and morning sixth day, because you're actually looking at the fact that there was darkness first, and then somewhere in the middle of day 1, God functionally created light to divide darkness from the light. So the idea of functional ontology is putting it right on. God said, the Bible said, it was good. It was exactly what God wanted it to be. Then when you look at the idea of, in verse 10, where the Bible says, dry land was made, because he had already created the expanse that divided the water that's above the earth from the water that was part of the earth. And he called that the heaven. But then when we get down to day number three, where land was created, the Bible says in verse 10, that's good, because it was doing exactly what God needed it to do. And that is to allow it so that the waters, even on the earth, would have some proper and definitive vision. He said that was good. That served a particular function. And again, you can study your earth science book to see why and how that actually occurs. And then in verse 10, the Bible talks about, after he says that there was vegetation that would be able to reproduce after its time, so that men and women would be able to eat. And looking at that, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, he ended up saying earth now, that it can feed man and all of these beings. It is now indeed good. The functional ontology is coming through, because he designed the earth so that now, instead of it being void and formless, now the earth had a sky. It had the clouds. It had the land. And it had the water. And now, as he created all these things on days 1 through 4, he can now actually create man and the animals to live on it, because God has progressively made order out of chaos. And the Bible says, when these things were occurring, this indeed was good. Then when you go down to day number 4, the Bible says in verse number 18 that both sun and moon were good. God placed light and wanted to separate it from darkness. And he wanted the sun to govern the day and the moon to govern the night. So if you wake up and you don't know exactly what time it is, you can look up and see if there's a sun. You can look up and see if there's a moon. And God said the functional ontology that's associated with the creating of the moon for a particular purpose. And you, if you've studied any earth science, you know that the moon has an effect on the waters that are actually on the earth. And you look at the sun, how that the sun is exactly the right distance from the earth, where if it was a few miles further away, that the earth would freeze. If it was a few miles closer, the earth would burn. There is that level of functional ontology where God is setting things up exactly the way he wants it to be. These things were good. These things were functional. These things were exactly the way that God wanted them to be. And that continued to be the theme throughout, where in verse number 18, again, he says that these things were good. He goes on and mentions that in verse 25, things were good when he made the beast and the cattle in day 6. Oh, so the whole idea of good in verse 21 with regard to, again, the birds swarming and the sea monsters in the water, all of those things were good. So when he got to making man, he said, let us make man in our image. So I want you to know that means God made man moral. God made man emotional. God made man volitional. So when you got all those things, God being, man being, God was moral. God was emotional. God was volitional. God was relational, or would be relational, as he creates man and beast. So the idea that God was all these things, he made us in his image so that we are relational, we are volitional, we are emotional, and we are moral. That's different than it would be with a lion. A lion has no moral compass that says, I shouldn't eat this gazelle, because he is driven on instinct alone. Whereas we have a moral compass within us that if we find it, it's somewhere that'll cause us to say, there is some line between right and wrong. And a lot of times it is our teaching and the values that those teachings have instilled that will cause us to go by those things. So God making us in our image, making us in our likeness. And when he had put everything together, made man and made woman, the end of Genesis 1 says, these things were very good. These things were very functional. These things were exactly the way God knew they needed to be designed, just like that sun, not being too far so that we can freeze, not being too close so that we can burn up. God set things right and perfectly. And the thing that I like that's wonderful is he set it up so that man can't mess up basically the things in Genesis that he set up. We are trying our best by not being as cautious as we should with his design and his creation. But God did what God did. And a lot of this is stuff that we can't control. We can't change. We can only behold the wonders of God's handiwork. Functional ontology. God made things good. So when you get to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18, where the Bible says, then God said, it is not good. You need to understand that he had given man life. He had given man livelihood. He had given man logic. He had given man by that time law. Those four L's. So the fifth L that needed to come around, which is giving man not just life and lodging and livelihood and law. He knew that the idea of bringing order to chaos in the middle of day six was not complete, because chapter 2 gives us a revisit of this. He knew that he needed to have it so that man, because he had already set it up so that vegetation could reproduce after its kind. He had already set it up so that animals were able to reproduce after their kind, whether they're fish or whether they're birds or whether they're creeping things, whatever it is, he had already set those things up. But God knew that man, even though he had made him and made him at the top of the creation order as far as his created beings were concerned, it was not good. It was not functional. We know that he existed. We know that he exists with spirit and soul and was made from the dirt of the ground. We know about the nature of his existence. But functionally, he was incomplete, because he was not made to be able to reproduce himself. And because God made him in his image so that he can be moral, so that he can be emotional, so that he can be volitional, and also so that he can be relational, there was no one that he could relate to. That became powerfully true when you start looking at what the Bible says, when he says further in verse number 19 of Genesis 2, out of the ground God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave, verse 20, all names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. Now, I want you to understand that, because this idea of functional ontology says that if all these things were good, if the light was good, if the sun was good, if the moon was good, if the land was good, if the animals being able to reproduce were good, if making man himself was good, all of this fit a level of functional ontology where the nature of his existence can be looked at, but also that the function of the design is being able to be used the way God wanted it to be used. God made man relational, but he had nobody to relate to, Chad Genesis 2 and 20 says. He made man so that he could actually have the parts to reproduce, but he had nobody to reproduce with. Verse 18, it is not good for man to be alone. So that's why, as God is continuing to do all of these good things in days 1 through 6, and as he pushes forward and actually prepares to make sure that by the end of day 6, he can look at all of his handiwork and he can say, it is very good. He goes forward and he creates woman. Now, you women out there will say, you know what, he saved the best for last. And you know what, I'm not going to argue with you, because I've been married for 30 years and I know what hills to die for and which ones not to. And I'll just say to you that he, you know what, he definitely saved you for last. And you know what, definitely, you are definitely the best for us. Because if he made Homo sapiens relational, then you needed to have an opposite sex for man to relate to. And if he made man with the ability to be able to reproduce, he needed to reproduce with something. Ladies and gentlemen, this makes the strongest argument against the gay marriage proposal. Because functional ontology, by its very essence, says that God didn't make another man to be with Adam, to relate to Adam. God made woman because God was in the process of making all stuff that was good, that was functional, that would allow man to be able to reproduce and allow man in the way that God designed to be able to relate, not just to people of the opposite sex, but to anybody else. But that starts through a woman, because all of us, ever since, have been born through the medium of a woman's body. So those who are out there who are saying, you know what, it's okay to have gay marriage, if that's what people want, this is America, and people can do whatever they want to do. But if you read and you study your Bible, ladies and gentlemen, God, in creating order to chaos, just like he knew to make light so that it can separate from darkness, just like he knew to put a sun over the day and a moon over the night, just like he knew to make that sun just far enough so that it would not either burn the earth or freeze it out, just like he made the moon so that it can do what it needs to do with the waters so that we can have an ecosystem that works in this climate and in this atmosphere. Just like God in his intelligent design did everything right, everything perfect, where he dipped his finger in the ingredient of creation, licked his lips metaphorically, licked his tongue metaphorically, and said, that's good. That's functional. That's the way I needed it to be designed. And when he saw that man did not have a woman, did not have a wife to actually be able to bond with, to procreate with, God knew what he was doing in making woman the way he made it her. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad that God made woman. I'm glad that God didn't set it up so that he made Eve and not see. I'm glad that he did exactly what he did. I want you to think about it, because we need to really glorify God with the corresponding puzzle pieces that we get when we get the sexes that we get. And it really relates to how things operate in marriage, because science has told us some things about how men and women operate with regard to their brains. Men are more left brain, having larger brains, and tend to, at least this study says, do better with problem-solving patterns connections are more from back to front than from side to side when it comes to their brain. Where when it comes to women, women tend to use both sides of their brain, which are more interconnected, leading to more big picture or situational thinking. Their brains are smaller, at least this study says, by 8%, and they can transfer data between right and left hemispheres faster. Now, I'm not smart enough to understand what the significance of that is. Here's what I know. God knew what he was doing when he made Eve and not Eve. What about the idea of multitasking? Men learn single task better, where women are better at just, I don't care what you say. If a man is doing something, and a lot of times, you know, I kind of joke in my Bible study, because sometimes I'll give out as a preview or just a teaser to get people's minds into the material, some stuff off of my logo, where I'll print a word search. And I'll see that the women are doing the word search while still paying attention to the Bible class, whereas the men can either do the word search or pay attention. They can't do both. Now, does that mean that there are some men who can do both? Most certainly. But it would appear that women just in general can multitask better. I don't know anything other than the functional ontology that God put forth in doing things exactly the way he wanted it to do and putting it exactly right. He is the one that basically made woman with the ability to multitask better. How about that fact that men are more abstract and task-oriented, relying more on themselves to perform, where women are more social thinkers and in general communicate more and often better than men? Now, you may argue with some of this, but again, this is just what science has produced and showing some things that just shows you that when God set forth and made all those things that are good, he had truly intelligent design in mind. The larger limbic system in women makes them more in touch and emotionally expressive. They're also more comprehensive in their thinking. So women tend to allow emotions to influence decisions more, where men disregard information not pertinent and focus on exact issues. Struggling with unverbalized emotions, men focus more on logic, which can result in a less wholesome view of thinking. And I believe, based on my experience, that these descriptions are generally very true of what you generally will see with women, what you generally will see with men. And again, I want to go forward and say, again, there are always going to be exceptions to the rule. So don't take that even this study that I'm referencing as being that's what it is with all men, that's what it is with all women. These are just some general things that appear to have gone forward that is part of God's ultimate design. Women have better memory than men, it would appear. Their sense of direction. Men have shown to have better visual, spatial, and geographic thinking, giving them a better sense of direction. Men are wired to take more risks, especially if the reward is big enough, where women are less inclined toward a risk and more toward safety. And I think that probably has a lot to do with the fact that they know that women are going to be have traditionally were going to be taking care of children more, and so they needed to be less risk-taking. As far as senses and sex, men see predominantly the other sexes, see what predominantly the other senses, rather. What men see predominates the other senses, rather. So what they see dominates everything. The drive sexually stimulating, among other things. Women are more multi-sensual, and their sexuality is more stimulated by things like ambience and touch and scent, in addition to what they see. So in other words, men are, I know what I want and I'm going after it, where a woman can be turned off by any number of things, including men, how you smell. So that's free. I'm not even going to give you any, charge you extra for that. What about this? Men are bigger generally and better with controlling their emotions, their movement. They also react faster. Obviously, women are able to operate at high levels of sport in particular. Women at their best will not quite overcome men at a man at his physical best, however. So all of this is stuff that's taken from fitbrain.com. Bottom line, God's intellectual design crafted both the male and the female as corresponding pieces to complete mankind's puzzle. God educated Adam enough for him to realize Eve was made from the same stuff as him in God's image. Because when you look at it, when he took the rib that I didn't go as far as to read in Genesis 2, it was not just the rib, it also had flesh. The same type of flesh, the same type of stuff that God had made man out of. Eve was made out of that same stuff. And he joined her to him as one flesh. Genesis 2, again, 18 through 24. The differences should complement complement, and not compete. So let's use this as inspiration to be more tolerant and appreciative and patient as we deal with each other. God knew and knows what he's doing. David may have said it best in Psalm number 139, verses 13 through 14, when he said, "For you have formed my inward part. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it well." Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, God set up marriage right there at the beginning, because what I didn't reference what I just referenced, but I didn't read, but I'm going to read it right now, is what Moses said at the end of chapter 2. "For this reason, man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Ladies and gentlemen, there is no way that we can look at marriage any other way other than a God-designed institution that requires both a man and a woman to function in the way that God designed them to function. Because as he was bringing order out of chaos, he was putting forth that I'm doing things exactly the way that I needed to do it. He created man exactly, that's good, that's perfect, to the taste that he needed to create it. And so who is man to say that you don't have to marry a woman, or a woman to say, I don't have to marry a man? And then once you start messing up God's design, then it becomes, what's wrong with, if a man can marry a man, then a woman can marry a horse. I mean, what is the line, if you're not going to follow it God's way, that's going to keep us from saying marriage can become this abomination where people can go all kinds of different directions, when this Bible tells us exactly how we need to view people who are married? Let me say to you that we need to love the sinner, but not necessarily love the sin. So we don't need to be performing discriminatory acts. We don't need to be going through and committing violence and all of these other things, because that's not God's will and that's not God's way. But I must teach this, because this is what the scriptures teach. This is what God wants. This is God's design. So the further we go away from God's design, the more we see the repercussions that are expressed in Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 and 26 and 28, where God said, "I gave them over to degrading to their lust. I gave them over to your degrading passions. I gave them over to a reprobate mind." And because of that, it has, you would think, destroyed the institution of marriage, except for you have people like me and others who are going to continue to rightly divide this word. We're going to continue to preach this truth. And we're going to continue to put it forth, despite the fact that you got it out there that says, "Who has believed our report?" Marriage, from Genesis to the grave. I'm hoping that you've enjoyed part one. Thank you very much.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation. And what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665 or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events and activities announced on this radio show, just contact Make the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. I'll send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. The Deep River Church of Christ, located in High Point, North Carolina, is seeking a full-time evangelist. The ideal candidate will be outreach-focused with a desire to win souls, has a keen ability to appeal well to a cross-cultural audience. For a copy of the full job description, visit the homepage on their website, www.deepriverchurchofchrist.org. To apply, send a resume, cover letter, and three professional references to deeprivercoc@triad.com. On December the 7th and 8th, 2019, there'll be a 61st annual homecoming at the Newburgh Church of Christ. And that address is 4700 East Indian Trail, Louisville, Kentucky, 40218. For more information, please call 502-966-5171. The service scheduled every Sunday school at 9 a.m. Their worship services start at 10:30 a.m. Dinner will be served after the services, and there will be an afternoon program at 2 p.m. And just a program reminder, Stephen B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. The first Monday of every month, we have the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition, where one of my co-hosts will be presenting a lesson from the Word of God. And that show will air from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then on Tuesday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'll be hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show, and each week we'll have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ who'll be presenting lessons from the Word of God. We also have the Community Corner segment, that segment for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services that they're offering to our community. We also have my co-host, Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York, and Mark Skelton from Indianapolis, Indiana, to be presenting lessons from the Word of God also. And then on Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show, and I have 9 co-hosts on that show who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God, and each week I have 2 of my co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking questions from my shout-out platform on social media, Facebook, that I'll be posing to one of my co-hosts on the show. And then on Friday night, each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting the live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. I'm playing the world's greatest acapella gospel music artist on that broadcast. And we have the Story Glory segment. We try to do that segment every first Friday of the month. We're interviewing the artist that we're actually playing on the program. And this Friday night, I'll be featuring the artist, the Johnson family from Valdosta, Georgia. And we're also doing the Top 20 Countdown Show. The next scheduled show will be on December the 20th, where we counted down my top 20 acapella gospel songs for the month of December. And we're also doing a marathon show. Whatever artist that we're featuring on that show, we'll just be playing their music for the entire show. And the next scheduled marathon show will be on April the 24th, 2020. And also my on-demand episodes. If you like to listen to all of these on-demand episodes, you can't catch any of these live shows, you can go to my affiliate internet stations and pull up these on-demand episodes. And we're being carried now on a variety of platforms on social media. You can go to Podcast Addict and Listening Notes. You can go to Himalaya. Also go to the podcast app, the LinkedIn, go to Beatport, go to Podbay and Charttable, and also go to Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple iTunes, ACARadio.net, go to iWay Radio, go to MCCBroadcasting.com, go to IBCBroadcasting.com. You can even go to YouTube and pull up these on-demand episodes. You can also go to the Church TV Network on YouTube and see their playlist, Acapella Radio. You can also go to Deezer and also World of Acapella. I'd like to give a shout out to my sponsors who are sponsoring these radio shows. Sharon Norwood, she lives in Chicago, Illinois. Her company is called Organo, and her slogan is a health product for healthier living. And my sponsor, Bethesda Memorial Funeral Director Crematory Services out of DeSoto, Texas. I want to thank my sponsor, Stanley Phillips. He's the owner of Touch of Class Apparel in Little Rock, Arkansas. And my sponsor, Diversified Financial Network and LLC out of Dallas, Texas. The owner is Mark and Charlotte Carroll. And my sponsor, Cheryl Morris. She lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's with the Compassionate Haiti Leaders. She's been serving Northern Haiti for 20-plus years. And they invite you to become a part of something greater than yourself. So please visit and donate to Haiti at www.HaitiCompassionateLeader.faith. And my sponsor, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch from Nashville, Tennessee. Certainly appreciate all of them. The three E's of Stevie B's Media Productions, it is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, we want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude my program announcement. You are listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition. Stay tuned.
I know.
Father,
listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with us and tuning into this radio broadcast. We certainly appreciate those who have been following our radio show on Blog Talk Radio and also on social media, Facebook Live. I want to thank my co-host Patrick L. Medlock for his lesson, Marriage from Genesis to the Grave. That was part one, and Lord say so, he's going to be doing part two. Next month, he's going to be doing part two. Certainly appreciate that. Is one of the topics that we cannot shy away from. It's taught in the scriptures. So if we're going to be faithful in sowing the seed of the kingdom, we got to be faithful to what the scriptures teach. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer that the lesson that was given on this radio show has been beneficial to your spiritual lives and that your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened because you're not only tuning into this radio show, but because you've given yourself over to a study of God's word. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and I want to say on behalf of my co-host of the Gospel Light Radio Show, good night, everybody. God bless you.
Are we teaching the truth in love? Telling it like it is. Are we holding pure motives, showing that we care? Are we teaching the truth in telling all that he had done to fulfill the good commandments, he knew every single one. Jesus said there's something that indeed he did lack. The Savior told the truth, he didn't hold the message back. He was teaching the truth in love. While holding pure motives and showing that he cared, he was teaching the truth in love. A woman caught in evil and without an alibi, the truth so very obvious, made no attempt to lie. With all the foes against her, how she felt so all alone, till Jesus asked the people who would throw the first stone. He was teaching the truth in love, telling it like it is.
In love.
Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition.
When God says no, and we won't accept him to the end,
just remember,
don't forget,
Father knows,
Father knows
what's best. When I lay awake at night, with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember.
Do that.
Father, I remember
no sin.
No